I thank God for the prayer that was offered up, and would ask for a continuation of your prayers this morning, that the Lord will bless the reading and the study of His Word. God's Word is what's on my mind this morning. There's been much to say about God's Word. I've spoke of it many times over the last year. I talked about my perception of life at my age, now 64, versus when I was 20 or 30, like these boys. Many here, or few here, not many anymore, but there are a few more today than there has been. You know, I looked at the whole world through a whole different set of glasses, if you would. My view was honestly blurred. I didn't see the big picture. You know, the Bible talks about wisdom. There's nothing more precious than God's wisdom. It tells us it's more precious than gold or fine gold or precious stones or silver or anything you can lay your hands upon. God's wisdom is more valuable. But values in our lives are not what the Bible says. We don't value things that the Bible says we should value. We may say we do, but for most of the Lord's people, they value the things of this world in an extreme manner. And this has gotten to be worse as time has went on. You know, 1 Timothy chapter 6, I believe it's along about verses 8 or 9, says, godliness with contentment is of great gain. How many of you today would think if you just lived a really, really godly life and you were satisfied with what you had, that that'd be great gain? See, our value system is not in line with God's. It's just not. It ought to be, and it should be. A lot of people don't even know what God said is valuable. I'm going to read a couple of verses here out of the book of Hosea that I intended to end the sermon with, but I think decided later on I might just begin the sermon with them. Chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. Now, friends, when you hear that, ye children of Israel, it's talking to us. Now, that's the Old Testament. But go to Romans chapter 2, and it tells who's a Jew, a spiritual Jew. One who is circumcised in the heart and not in the flesh. Out of every tongue and nation and people upon this earth. Everyone. We're spiritual Jews. We're spiritual Israel. So when it says Israel, I want you to understand, it's not something that you throw aside. It's not something that you disregard. It has reference to you and I in life. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land. I wondered when I read that, would God have a controversy with us today? I suspect so. Because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. Now, I don't think we've gotten quite as far or to the great, as great an extreme as it was at this time, but we're accelerating and we're getting there in a hurry. Let me read verse 6. My people, always speaking to God's people, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Interesting, isn't it? Because they don't know any better. You know, I look back over my life, and as I said, my perception of life is far different. I've read the Bible in the last 22 or 3 years far more than I've rarely ever read it prior to that. I knew a few verses. I heard a few people stand up and speak. But the Bible says that if we're to worship, we're to worship in spirit and in truth. Not just in spirit, in truth. And God's truth is just not about salvation by grace. That's a great truth, but it's about the moral truth and the things that go on with us and how we're to live our lives every day. We wonder how we got here. We woke up one day and the country seems to be in such a wreck. Immorality's great in the land. Evil is unbelievable. Most of us turn a deaf ear to it, and we just go on living like we're living. You know, 2 Chronicles, you hear it preached all the time, the prayer. If you turn from your wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. I'll forgive your sin and heal your land. That's repentance and conversion. Brother Don spoke on that several weeks ago. It's a change. My question is anybody going to change? You know, one man can make a big difference in life. Think about Elijah's prayer. We could go to many. We're not going to go to many. That man prayed earnestly. And it didn't rain for 3.5 years. And he prayed again and it did rain. One man, one person can make a great difference. You know, sometimes it's easy to say, well, the country's in such a wreck. Things are so bad, I'm just going to throw in the towel, give up. Pretty easy to do, isn't it? You look around and you see all that's going on. You see the diminishing of the churches of every kind throughout the towns. The Bible says we're to worship in spirit and in truth. My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. Reckon we're to the point yet that God would reject us? I still have hope that that's not the case. But that's where these folks got in that day and age. You know, nothing's new under the sun. That's what Solomon told us in Ecclesiastes. There's nothing new under the sun. He said, man is not satisfied with seeing nor with hearing. That literally means he's not talking about just sight and hearing. He's talking about the things of this world never bring satisfaction. That's what makes that verse in 1 Timothy chapter 6 unreal. Godliness with contentment. Contentment just literally means satisfaction is great gain. I would suspect if you was to take the people of the world, God's people, and ask them if that was a greater gain to them than whatever it is they're trying to buy, whatever it is they're trying to accomplish, the things that they're trying to gather up in this world, would they consider that to be of more value than those things? Well, we should. We should. I listened to a sermon this week by Elder Ronald Lawrence, and it was a great sermon. He used as his text, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto thee. Seek ye first. When God says seek him first, he means in every decision you make. Every day. We've gotten to the point in this country, and if you read the Old Testament, we learn this, that we believe that a couple hours on Sunday is all we need of the Lord. That satisfies the Lord, but that's not so. Why were these people destroyed for the lack of knowledge? For the same reason I think we're going to be destroyed for the lack of knowledge. As I told you, for many years, I didn't read the Word of God. It was not a part of my life. We have the greatest book ever written, ever, in our possession today. And we have it and we'll continue to have it because God promised to preserve it. We're told in Psalms chapter 12 that the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of the earth, purified 7 times. Why is that purified 7 times so important? Because 7 is a number of completion in the Bible. God's words are pure. They don't need anything added to them or taken away from them. The Bible lays out how we're to teach our children, to train them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That obligation is laid on the fathers of every family, including myself. Doesn't matter how many of us fail. It's never too late to start. Today's as good a time to start. It means to train them not just in the Bible, but in everything you do in life. When you begin to look at that and understand that and just examine that one truth, no wonder we are where we are. We're too busy to train our children. We're too busy out trying to grab a hold of all the gusto we can get. And the world, no wonder we went to where we went, because maybe other things are more important to us. We're to train our children in the way of the Lord. If you don't, the world will, and that's what's happened. We've laid our training off to someone else because you know why? It's easier. It's a lot easier to let somebody drop them off and let somebody else train your children than it is to train them yourself. It takes time, takes effort, takes sacrifice. That's just one truth. He says, we'll also reject thee. There shall be no priest to me, seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of the Lord. And when you hear in the Old Testament the law of the Lord, you're hearing it's speaking of the Word of God. God's Word, God's written Word. He says, I will also forget thy children. These troubles will linger down through life because we rejected the Word of God. 2 Peter chapter 1 tells us that we're to add to our faith virtue and to virtue knowledge. You cannot have knowledge of what God would have you to do every day every day unless you study God's Word. Brother Darrell made a great point this morning, and I hope he don't mind me using it. He said, one reason people don't go to the Bible, they can't just open up the Bible like a dictionary and go find their answer right quick. Take some effort, some study. But you know, God intended it to be that way, because the study of God's Word never ends. It's a lifelong study, and the more you study it, the more you'll learn and the more you'll know. It's important. It's important. It is the reason that things have went, in my opinion, the way that they went. Let's go over and begin and read some verses where I was going to start. David makes a great point here in the 119th Psalms in the 105th verse. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is what David said. In other words, through God's word, the paths of life are illuminated and give us direction. But if we don't know God's word and we don't take any time and effort daily to study it, we don't know what's down one path versus another. You know, we take many paths. I have. Many of them are the wrong path. You know, I'm as guilty as anyone. I didn't always walk down the right path. But I tell you, there's paths I went down that I probably didn't know I shouldn't have went down, because I never read the Word of God. It was not a part of my life. You know, people spend hundreds of thousands of dollars educating their children, sending them off to school and to college and to every trade school you can find. And there's never been a book more important for every child of God to know than the Word of God, the Bible, the 66 chapters that make up the canon of Scripture, the Holy Writ, God's holy word. This is not just some man's writing. It's not. It's not some man's writing. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. What a statement David made. What would this country be like if every one of us from a true heart could honestly say, thy word, God, thy word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 23. Notice what Solomon says, pertaining to this. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. You know, that just teaches us right there that reproofs are declarations of instruction. God instructs us through His Word how to have a godly marriage, how to have a godly home, how to worship in spirit and truth, how to treat your bosses. But it also teaches us we never make a decision in life without the Lord being involved. I made a lot of decisions in my life without the Lord being involved. I made some where I thought the Lord was involved and found out later He wasn't. You know, it takes a lot of careful prayer and meditation. Things that, unfortunately, what's happened in our land is we don't have time. We're weary. We're tired. We labor up one side and down the other to obtain those things. That's why our value system is not what it should be. You know, there's nothing more valuable in life than Jesus Christ and your family. All this other stuff, not going to be there long. Let me finish reading in 1 Timothy, just a couple verses for, you know, I just think it's so important what God says and how it was that I didn't read it, listen to it, or even begin to understand it, because I wasn't in God's Word so many years of my life. In the 6th chapter of 1 Timothy, it says, but godliness with contentment is a great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Amazing, we're not going to take any of this stuff with us, but I tell you, we can devote unbelievable amounts of time and effort to obtain it. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Paul even said in another place, it's something you got to learn. I didn't learn it. I wanted more than I had when I grew up, and I was willing to sacrifice whatever it took to get there. I'll be honest with you. I didn't hear the Word of God preached, and I got... you know, it says reproofs are a way of life or proofs of instruction. But you know, God's word is extremely important. He says, David says in the 119th Psalms in the 67th verse, another one of those verses that describes me very well. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. I'll tell you what, that'll apply to a lot of folks. Sometimes it takes some years to go down the road and look back at life and understand that. But David knew it. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. You know, none of us like to be afflicted. None of us like the chastening rod of God. But before I was afflicted, I went astray. And now I've done the best I can to try and keep God's word. Even though I've sinned and come short of the glory of God, I try a lot harder than I did in the younger day. It just wasn't a focal point of mine. But my whole deal is this is what happens to folks collectively in a nation, in a country, in a church. You know, this is not a coincidence or an accident that things are falling apart in our country. Any of you that live here or in here that are 60 years or older know what things were like back in the 60s and 70s in the churches. A lot more people had a lot of focus on it. A lot of folks went to churches and there was no air conditioning. They went to associational meetings and they hung up lean-tos on their cars, slept in the back seat of their cars to go hear the Word of God preached. Can you imagine such ridiculousness as that? Can you imagine people would suffer going through sweating and heat to go hear the Word of God preached? You know, I didn't get in on a whole lot of that. I remember association out at Anton under a tent, the only tent association I ever remembered before they moved to Tacoma. They wouldn't. You couldn't hardly get anybody to go to one of them things. Now they might sweat, they might get dirty. It's a change of times. See, God's word hadn't changed, and God hadn't changed Himself. We've changed, and many of us have changed God in our minds, in all that we do. You know, the Bible tells us that. In this 105th verse, that the Word of God is light. It's light unto our path. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus should be the light of every path that you take. Because He is the life. He is the life. You know, I wish I could make the Bible more exciting to folks. Wish it had been more exciting to me when I was young and I'd really wanted to read it. You know, a lot of people believe, well, he's the preacher. He's the one that needs to study it and he can deliver us a message. That's the easy way out, but that's not what God's word says. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God. You're to study and you need to read, and it's a lifelong adventure. You'll always learn something new. I know some folks that have spent a great portion of their life reading the Bible. Some in this church, some in other churches, they were devoted to it. But it's gotten hard to read God's word and to make it an absolute part of our lives because we don't have time. We got to raise children. We got to make a living. I mean, somewhere to do what God would have us to do in any capacity takes a sacrifice. He made the greatest sacrifice that there ever was when He died upon the cross of Calvary for you and I, that one day when this life ends, we won't be separated from Him forever. What a sacrifice. And the little sacrifices that God calls upon us to make, we should make them with joy in our heart. What a joy it should be. God's word is truth. David said in the 133rd Psalms, or 133rd verse of 119, this is a great one. Order my steps in thy word. Order my steps in thy word. And let not any iniquity or sin have dominion over me. Order thy steps in my word. If you're not in His word, how can your steps be ordered by God? That's pretty self-explanatory. If you want to do it, please God, and do what God would have you to do, God's word's essential. You know, we open up books a lot of times, as Brother Darrell said, from man trying to find the answers to life when the answers to our problems are here. It deals with every aspect of the things you're going to go through in life. But it'll take you a little bit of time and a little bit of effort. It'll take some discipline, a lot of discipline, to read God's word every day. You know, you don't have to say, well, I'm going to read it in a year and just go rushing through it. When you read, reread. Back up and read the verses again. Try to understand what God says. And then try to apply it to your life. God's word is truth, and that ought to mean something to all of us. Psalms chapter 12 says that the words of the Lord, as I said, are pure words. They're complete. Revelation chapter 22 says we're not to add anything to God's word or take anything from God's word. Many things have been added to the worship service throughout the years by man. That's adding to God's word. God lays out the simplicity of the worship service in Jesus Christ. When it comes to raising our children, how many things have been added? Well, you can go down and you can get a whole library full of books teaching you how to raise your children when you got the only one book you ever need to raise up your children, the Word of God. The only truth that's absolute in the universe. Notice what he says in Proverbs chapter 30. Every word of God is pure. There are no impurities in God's word. None at all. We're told over in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5, this is the message that we've heard of him and declare unto you, God is light, righteousness, pureness, and no darkness is in him at all. There is no unrighteousness in God. There is no wrong in God. If God is never wrong, and he's always right, no matter what subject we're trying to deal with, why would we not go to his word? It's easier to sit down and watch television. It's easier to do anything than to devote time. But I believe if you do so, God will honor you. You honor your family. I mean, it's an important thing. We didn't get from point A to point B to point C, wherever we are, by accident. There's more illiterate Christians or children of God. I hesitate to call anyone a Christian anymore. You know why? A Christian is someone who tries to imitate Christ, to follow him. It was like the old saying said, all true disciples are children of God, but not all of God's children are true disciples. That's the truth. Thank God it's not because we're walking a perfect way that we have hope of our eternal salvation. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he hath saved us, by washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. It had nothing to do with our behavior, thank God. It was all according to God's mercy and his grace. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee and thou be found a liar. It's a serious thing to go to adding things to God's word. I don't care whether it's adding things to how we teach our children. If God said this is how it is, this is how it is. We're told in Deuteronomy 32 and 4, he is the rock. Not a rock, the rock. There is no other rock apart from Jesus Christ. He is the rock, and his work is perfect. His work is perfect. His words are perfect. His ways are perfect. Why would we want to look anywhere else for the answers of life other than the Word of God? All his ways are judgment. He's a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. These words are not something that were derived from some men. You know, a lot of people believe that these were words that men just wrote down. But we're told in 1 Timothy 3 and 16 that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It's divinely inspired. Even though men wrote it down, notice what it says in 2 Peter chapter 1, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. None of it. You know, you hear people coming up all the time. You read articles. Well, I had some kind of revelation, and this needs to be added into the Bible. Nothing's of private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. Oh, that's one of the key verses in the Bible. It wasn't by the will of man. It was by the will of God. Be ye not unwise, as we're told in Ephesians chapter 5, but understanding what the will of God, the Lord, is. Be not unwise. in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. If we believe that Jesus was the incarnate Word of God, that through Mary, a virgin, the Immaculate Conception, that she was overshadowed by the Holy Ghost and found with child, and I think everyone in this room believes that, the only one that can lay hold of God as their Father from a bloodline is Jesus Christ, if you would. Adam wasn't Jesus' father. Adam wasn't. God was. If he could do that, then why could he not inspire men, overshadow them, and have them write down the things that he'd have them to speak? Or that he'd have us to know? That's exactly what he did. We have what we need. We don't need to add to it. We don't need to take away from it. What we need to do is invest in it. Invest our time and our effort in searching out the Word of God. Knowing what He'd have us to do. How He'd have you to train your children. Treat your husband or your wife. Your neighbors. You know, there's two great commandments to love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And the second is likened unto it, that you love your neighbor as yourself. That there's a pretty tough one, to just love your neighbor as yourself. Matter of fact, I'd say it's real tough. But friends, it's not impossible. The commandments of God are not grievous. They're just not. We make them grievous because of the temptations of our flesh. You know, the flesh is weak. The spirit is willing. All God's words are pure. They're inspired, divinely inspired. They're truth. Something that we ought to value above everything. If you was to have a fire in your house, and I don't know how many people, you know, we'd all run for pictures and we'd all run for things that are replaceable. But I tell you, one of the most important things you could take from that home when you're making a mad dash is the Word of God. Heaven and earth shall pass away, the Lord said, but my word shall never pass away. He tells us that His words are precious. They're more valuable than anything upon this earth. And if we use them and apply them, what a difference they'll make in our lives. I'm going to get a few verses and out of the New Testament and close here pretty quick. When we think about the Word of God, we want to go to the book of Acts. In the 17th chapter, Paul had went to Thessalonica. And basically, they kicked him out. Verse 10 says, "And the brother immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went in to the synagogue of the Jews." Things wasn't going well. They didn't like what Paul was preaching. But let's notice something here that ought to have application to every one of us. "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind." For the child of God today, I will argue that this is one of the most important verses that we've ever read in the Word of God. How ready are you to worship God when you arrive at church? Think about this just a minute. Do you bring the world in and every activity that you had in the world into the church? Is all we had to talk about was yesterday and what will happen tomorrow? This here says they were ready to hear the Word of God with all readiness of mind. You know, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but how much prayer did we have this week for the service? I know back in my day, I didn't pray near like I should have, near as much as I should have. But these brethren were more noble. They were more generous and considerate to Paul, and that's what it really was, in hearing the Word of God. But they come prepared, with all readiness of mind. It's easy to come into the house of the Lord, to hear the Word of God preached, and walk out the door, because I've done this many times and not know one thing that was said. If we're not getting anything out of the Word of God when we're there and we're not reading His Word, no wonder the children of Israel were destroyed for lack of knowledge. If we don't have the knowledge of what God said about Himself and what He says about us and how we're to live life in every respect, then I can understand how we could even self-destruct. I think that's really what's happening. Because we've turned away from the Lord in general. We're not focused upon the Lord. We're supposed to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I mean, you're supposed to take significant time to put Jesus ahead of all aspects of your life. I can't tell you that I've done all those things. I'm making a lot bigger effort to do it than I did 20, 30, 40 years ago. I hate that I didn't do it then. The reason I didn't do it then, because I was a foolish young man. That's just a fact. It says a wise man will hear and increase in learning, but here's the key to it. A man of understanding shall, not maybe, shall attain unto wise counsel. I didn't ask the folks and talk to the folks much. I'd walked those roads and been down those paths. You know, I was one of those that knew it all. A lot of young people know it all. You realize that, don't you? They know a lot more than mom and dad, and a lot more than grandma and grandpa, so they don't need any advice. They don't need anybody to tell them what to do. They know it all. That's nothing new. That's been going on for centuries. We all think that, whether we say it or not, to some degree. But there are a few wise folks out there, no doubt about it, even when we're young. I think a lot of us become wiser when we get older because our perception of life changes dramatically, or at least mine has. At least mine has. It says that they received the word with all readiness of mind. What a joy it'd be if we'd all prepare to hear the word of God preached, to come into God's house and talk about the Lord and the goodness that God has bestowed upon us in the past week, what we hope that God will do for us. And it's just something that needs to be a relevant part of our lives. We got plenty of time to talk about all the things of the world. Matter of fact, 6 full complete days and part of another. But these brethren came with all readiness of mind. That's food for thought. They didn't have the world's things. They didn't bring the stuff of the world into the church. They were ready to hear the word of God preached. But let's notice, let's go on. And it says, and they searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. They were in God's word daily. They were in God's word daily. You know, he went to Thessalonica before he went to Berea. These were Jewish folks in both places. But in 1 Thessalonians 1 and 5, Paul said to the church at Thessalonica in his first letter, for our gospel came not unto you in word only. You know, the gospel can have a power to change your life, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. When he first went to the church at Thessalonica in the book of Acts, they didn't receive him very well. They didn't want to hear what he had to preach. You know, they were all in on this work system in the Old Testament, and they couldn't get away from it. You know, that's one thing the Old Testament teaches you. You can't work your way to heaven. Brother George said it just right when he said, somebody says, we're all working to get to the same place. If it weren't for the grace of God, we'd all get there. We would all get there. Bible teaches us over and over, it's not by works of righteousness which we've done. He hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world, before the world began. That's the truth when it comes to salvation. I've heard people say, well, old Baptists believe that they're so certain of their salvation that, you know, it's not that important what we do out in the world. Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. You know, Paul addresses that issue. You know, we ought to be dead to sin. We ought to make an effort to put Jesus Christ first because we know that. There is others in the world who believe you need to go out and accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and be born again. Then if you don't live up to the standards, you've done that, so you're going to heaven. I'm going to tell you, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Not that we would, but that we should. If you want to know what you should be doing in life, you've got to get into God's word. God's word has got to be flooding your mind. When these circumstances and situations come up, would this honor God? Would God have me to do this? If you don't know what God says, how do you know if it would honor or dishonor God? Some things we do know. Some things we do know. We know the Ten Commandments. We know thou shalt not commit murder. I think most of us agree with that. But the first commandment says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. No idols. Nothing more important in your heart and life than Jesus Christ. That takes some discipline and effort to do. It's easy to get caught up in the world and let the world become more important to you than Jesus Christ. Sure did me for a long time. I wish it had been different. I can't go back and redo that part of my life. All I can do is tell you where I was and hope you're not there or going there. God's word's important. It honors him. You know, we were created for his glory. Thou art worthy, O Lord. Thou art worthy to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. It was God's pleasure to create you as a natural being, breathe life into your nostrils, and you become a living soul. It was God's pleasure to make you a new creation, to be born you of the Spirit of God. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. God's word is a significant book that we ought to take advantage of. We have it a lot of times, but due to time, due to importance. It's a collector of dust. Looks good to walk in someone's house with a bunch of Bibles, doesn't it? Have you ever wondered if they're like my house? A bunch of Bibles in there. They ain't ever read much, but they're in there. They look good. They got to be a child of God. They got a lot of Bibles. Friends, we need to read God's word. We don't need to read man's stuff. We don't need to read things from the world. Cursed be the man that trusteth in man. And make flesh his arm, his own arm. In other words, if you're your own strength, it says whose heart departeth from the Lord. Do you realize that if you go out in the world and seek the wisdom of this world and live life in your own strength, your heart will depart from the Lord? That's what the word of God teaches us. God's word is extremely, extremely important. Read a few verses from the 19th chapter of Psalms, and I'm going to close. Begin in verse 7. And I'm going to get one verse out of Psalms 51 from David. The law of the Lord is perfect. The word of God is perfect. Converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Some people that have far less than we have in life have far more of God's rich wisdom. The statutes of the Lord are right. He's never wrong. He's perfect. Rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. My argument is, if we don't read and study, how do we know these things? How do they enlighten our eyes? How do we rejoice in our heart if we don't study and apply God's word to our lives? The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. God blesses his people when they follow him and blesses them mightily. He'll not leave you barren. He'll not leave you destitute and without by putting him first in every decision. God's word is important. I can't stress it enough. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It is my hope that if God's word is not a lamp unto our feet this day and a light unto our path, that he will become that very soon. The Bible teaches us what it takes to bring about change. We know that Abraham, he sought after the Lord time and time again. If there were so many righteous in Sodom and Gomorrah, he wouldn't destroy it. He said he wouldn't. But he didn't find that many, did he? The only ones that were taken out were Lot and his family. And his wife turned around, and God's commandment not to, and was turned into a pillar of salt. God has done great things by a few individuals in the Bible. Matter of fact, God never done anything with great armies. My point is, every one of you make a difference. Doesn't matter how old or young we are, never too late to start putting the Lord and His Word first and foremost in your life. I know reading God's Word is not easy, because I don't mean the Word of God is not easy to read. It's just, like for me, it's not easy to read, period. I don't read anything. I don't even read the sports page anymore. I did that once upon a time. I don't read a whole lot of things. But God's Word's important. It'll make a difference in your life, a big difference. Difference in your families, in your churches. And it'll make a difference in this nation. We need to turn from our wicked ways. You know, that's a strong word. I always use that when I preach that. Most people think, well, wicked, that's a harsh word. But it's just unrighteousness, anything that's unrighteous. James chapter 2 says, if you're a respecter of persons, you commit a sin. If you think more highly of somebody than you do somebody else, you've committed a sin right there. And that may not be on the level of murder, but I'll tell you, it'll take the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to pay for that sin, or you won't be in heaven, because you hate forever sin. There'll be no sinners in heaven. We'll all be pure and righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ. May God bless you is my prayer. I hope you got something out of this, especially how important this is. And if you're not reading it, I know it takes some concerted effort, time, discipline. It may mean sacrificing something. Your favorite TV program or your nap or whatever. Make it a part of your everyday life. It'll make a difference not only in you, but in a lot of things in our lives. May God bless you.